This is Audible.
Audible Original Publishing presents A Murder of Manatees. The Further Adventures of Tom Stranger, Interdimensional Insurance Agent. Written by Larry Correa. Performed by Adam Baldwin.
Chapter 1. Tom's 8 a.m. Customer Service Response Panel, Miami, Florida, Earth number 94-A-3256. It was time for the press conference to begin. Tom Stranger, an unremarkable-looking man in an unremarkable-looking suit, walked onto the stage and surveyed the audience. The room was crowded with reporters and concerned citizens from across the multiverse. Once again, Tom's company had been embroiled in controversy and its good name besmirched. He knew from experience the best way to deal with spurious allegations was to meet them head-on with honesty, integrity, and superior customer service. Hello, I'm Tom Stranger of Stranger & Stranger Insurance. As an interdimensional insurance agent, I often travel across the multiverse caring for my clients' needs. My job takes me to many alternate realities where I deal with a variety of insurance-related, sometimes apocalyptic crises. Many would consider this, Tom paused to make quote marks with his fingers, adventure. However, what unaugmented beings think of as adventure is merely a normal day here at Stranger & Stranger. I do not understand why anyone would chronicle such mundane events, but recently I was informed that a client of mine documented one of my average workdays and created an audiobook about it. For those of you perplexed by this term, on some worlds, that is a book that you listen to. Though this audiobook about my life has been extremely popular on Earth 169-J-00561, the customer satisfaction rating for this product has averaged less than 4.5 stars out of 5. I always strive for perfect scores in customer service. That half star is troubling. Thus, I have called upon this panel of experts so that we may address these customers' legitimate concerns.
We're number one! Woo-hoo-hoo!
Somebody shouted from offstage.
Best-selling audiobook in the world, baby!
Correction, Jimmy. The Adventures of Tom Stranger, Interdimensional Insurance Agent, written by Larry Correa and narrated by Adam Baldwin, was briefly number one on one particular world. On most civilized worlds, it came in a distant second place after the 8th Game of Thrones novel.
Whatever, dude! Number one! Hear that, Mr. Chang? Number one!
Who is Mr. Chang?
Asked one of the reporters. Please let us hold questions until the end. But Jimmy the intern answered anyway.
My high school guidance counselor, man. He said I'd never amount to anything. Suck it, Mr. Chang. I starred in the number one audiobook in the world. Woot!
Calm your wooting, young intern. Tom Stranger shook his head sadly at Jimmy's display of wanton unprofessionalism. Such frivolity is an example of why I arranged this customer service response panel.
Sorry, Mr. Stranger.
You might as well come out now. Allow me to introduce our panelists. You have already heard from my intern, Jimmy, whom I brought along today because he was present during the chronicled events.
Sup, homies?
Since today was such an important day, Tom had asked Jimmy to act and look his best. So Jimmy was less unkempt than usual, only partially hungover, a remarkable achievement, and was wearing a shirt and tie instead of one of his usual Chico State t-shirts. However, since Jimmy's default state was disheveled mess, he had already dropped a salsa-covered breakfast burrito down his shirt during the drive to the press conference. Also joining us is Larry Correa of Earth 169-J-00561, who authored the work in question.
Hi.
Larry the author waved as he came out on stage and took a seat. There was a little bit of sporadic, polite clapping from the audience. And last, but certainly not least, a very special guest representing one of Stranger & Stranger's most valued clients, renowned expert on customer relations, Wendell T. Manatee, Chief Financial Officer of Korea Tech, the most powerful megacorporation in the multiverse. A giant fish tank was rolled out on a dolly. Wendell the Manatee floated peacefully inside. Wendell shook his ponderous bulk in greeting. The audience immediately went wild, cheering and chanting his name.
Wendell! Wendell! Wendell!
A woman even threw her panties at Wendell's tank. Tom waited until the enthusiastic standing ovation for the popular manatee tapered off. Having a public figure of such eloquence and gravitas on his side was certain to help his case. Wendell had agreed to appear as a personal favor. They had picked this location because it was Wendell's home reality and only one hyperspace jump from home office world. Let us begin. Mr. Correa, as an accountant, it is good you have retained those skills, by the way, in case this writing thing doesn't work out for you. Do you have the statistics?
Yes, Tom, we currently have 4,237 five-star reviews on Audible.com, where The Adventures of Tom Stranger, Interdimensional Insurance Agent, can still be downloaded.
Of course, the consumers of your home reality would be fools not to purchase this fine entertainment product, but that is not why we are here. How many one-star reviews are there?
Larry the author hung his head in shame. 273.
Tisk, tisk. I always strive for tens on all customer satisfaction surveys, or fives when a world's rating system is based upon stars, smiley faces, or stickers. Now we shall address these customer complaints directly. Larry, the author, had a stack of 3x5 cards with all the negative reviews written on them. He began flipping through.
Okay, let's see. I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm super offended. This was offensive. It's about 10 that was funny to everyone. I'm offended, but that guy is really offended.
I see. I believe I know what the problem is. Tom nodded thoughtfully. He turned to address the audience directly. I accept full responsibility for causing this offense. At this time, I would like to issue a formal apology to all of those whom I inadvertently upset. Humor can be subjective, and what one person finds amusing, others may not. However, some things are never okay to joke about. So, at this time, I would like to offer my sincerest apologies to dolphins.
Wait, what?
Yes, Mr. Correa. During the events chronicled in the previous audiobook, I referred to aquatic mammals as flippant. I inadvertently implied that dolphins were not meticulous about paying their insurance premiums or filling out their claim paperwork on time. That is a hurtful, negative stereotype, and for that, I am truly sorry to the dolphin people.
Actually, Tom, I'm pretty sure these were mostly humans offended that I poked fun at. Their political beliefs, then they took it personal.
Tom scowled. That makes no sense. Does your world not have Saturday Night Live, stand-up comedy, skit shows, South Park, Jon Stewart, Tina Fey, Seth Rogen, John Oliver, That's My Bush, Judd Apatow movies, the rest of Comedy Central's programming, Patton Oswalt, Bill Maher, Louis Black, Stephen Colbert, Janine Garofalo, or any episodes of The Simpsons featuring Lisa? Wendell explained. You're telling me that on Larry the author's home planet, it is only acceptable to make fun of some beliefs? Yet the predominant belief system held within their entertainment industry is sacrosanct? Tom thought the manatee had to be pulling his leg. Good one, Wendell. No, it has to be dolphins. And moving on to our next complaint, Larry the author read from the next card.
It was vulgar.
Well, all things considered, I found Arlie Ermey to be remarkably restrained, Tom stated.
Fleerp!
Wendell agreed. He was a huge Full Metal Jacket fan and could practically recite the opening boot camp scene from memory. The manatee showed them his war face. A fantastic impersonation, Wendell. Regardless, I will pass this concern on to Secretary of Defense Ermey. Next card. Well, some of the humor was dated and made jokes relating to pop culture as far back in ancient history as the 1980s.
I hope that dude never watches Family Guy, Jimmy muttered.
Silence, Jimmy! The customer is always right, even when they are being absurd. Also, he will want to skip Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Next card, Mr. Correa.
There's too much profanity. Now, this one is interesting, Tom, and I've got the numbers here. We use no F-bombs. Twice we use the word beep.
Larry paused, confused.
Is the panel being bleeped if we use bad words now?
Yes, I thought it best not to cause further customer anguish. Do not worry. I will shut it off after the conclusion of this press conference.
Hang on, I gotta test this, Jimmy interjected. Beep, beep, mother, beep, beep, sheep dip. Man, that was awesome.
Larry the author looked at his cards. That's going to make reading these complaints a challenge. Okay, we used beep 6 times. That's the naughty word for a butt.
What kind of lame beep beep is that? Jimmy asked.
We used crap 11 times. Wait, no beep? Okay, apparently crap is cool. H-E double hockey sticks a whopping 17 times. But in our defense, that was an actual geographic location in the story. There you go, Tom.
You must explain this one, Mr. Korea. Your sad customer service failings are not upon my head this time.
Well, as a writer, language is art, and words are your tools. You choose the best tool based upon the impact you are trying to achieve. Sometimes bad words are funny.
There was a scattering of half-hearted applause from a few members of the audience.
Meow, beep, ooh, beep, 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 floo, beep.
The audience laughed uproariously at Wendell's profanity-laced George Carlin-like rant. The manatee was killing it. There you have it. I don't think anyone can argue with such keen observational humor. Next one-star complaint.
Well, Tom, there's accusations that you are some sort of idealized libertarian Superman.
Preposterous. As an insurance agent, I am above petty partisan politics and only care about providing quality customer service. You must be mistaken. That customer was probably referring to President Adam Baldwin.
Yeah, that guy's pretty awesome, Jimmy agreed.
Sleep,
Wendell added, because he mostly knew Adam Baldwin as Animal Mother.
Moo!
You heard the manatee, Mr. Korea. Next card.
The author had a perplexed look on his face as he read from the stack. It is apparent that Larry Korea hates people like me. I'm triggered.
Sheesh, friggin' dolphins, Jimmy said. Let it go already. You guys need to chillax.
Okay, this one is a direct quote. The story lacks in every dimension.
Tom was puzzled. Do you think they meant that literally, or was it an attempt at humor regarding the existence of multiple dimensions? Regardless, the customer is always right. Bad writer, bad.
Sorry, Tom. Up next, we have a few about what awful ego-stroking it is for an author to insert himself into a story. That's kind of funny one, since I didn't exactly cover myself in glory back there. I spent most of my time getting my beep kicked.
It does not matter. The customer has spoken. An author putting himself into the narrative is never okay. In the future, you should strive to be more professional, like Stephen King or Clive Cussler. Is that all of the negative comments?
It appears so, Tom.
Well, there you have it, news media and gentle customers. Thank you for attending this customer service response panel. Are there any questions? Yes, there in the back.
This question is for Larry the author. Despite your virulent anti-dolphin hate-mongery, do you intend to write about any more of the adventures of Tom Stranger?
Okay, first off, I don't even know any dolphins.
That just makes it worse, sir.
Second, sure, I'd be up to writing another story about Tom and company.
Because of Larry's ham-fisted, clumsy, pulpy writing style, it meant Tom probably had more of these awkward press conferences to look forward to in the future. Next question, please.
This is a question for Mr. Manatee. Would you care to comment about your megacorporation's controversial move to perform a hostile takeover of many of the most evil companies in the multiverse, thus creating one super-giant megacorp legion of doom ensuring galactic domination?
There were murmurs from the audience. Tom had not even been aware of these events, and he read the Drudge Report.
Floorp!
And when Wendell the manatee put his flipper down and said no further questions, he meant it. His handlers immediately came out and wheeled his tank off stage. Well, I am afraid that is all the time we have today. We apologize for this utter failure of customer service, and I will personally endeavor to make up that half star in the future. Thank you for coming. Chapter 2. Stranger and Stranger's Quarterly Employee Evaluations. Home Office World. After the press conference, Tom had returned to the office, looking forward to another productive work day. There was a multiverse in constant turmoil, clients in need, and quality customer service wouldn't supply itself. Plus, it was nice to turn off that annoying profanity beeper. The Stranger in Stranger home office was a bustling, upbeat place where the finest office staff in the multiverse efficiently processed claims and sold policies using the most advanced technology available from 100 worlds. Tom's personal executive office was very plain and businesslike. There were no personal mementos or knickknacks to distract him from his duties. It was his happy place. And today was a very important day on Home Office World. An interdimensional insurance agent was only as good as his team, so it was company policy that every quarter, Tom would assess his junior associates to make sure that they were operating as a well-honed insurance unit should. Each member would be tested in a variety of grueling simulations, pushing their mental and physical limits to the ragged edge, and then Tom would personally grade their performances. Interns came from many different realities, but only a handful survived long enough to make the leap to junior associate. That position required genius intellect, Olympian physicality, and a courageous dedication to customer satisfaction. After years of experience, the greatest among them would step into the insurance crucible and overcome the final claim in order to be certified a full-fledged interdimensional insurance agent. Those elite few would get their own franchises, and the circle of life would continue. Until his employees faced the crucible, it was Tom's solemn duty to mentor them in the path of customer service. Luckily, as the evaluations came in, it turned out that most of his staff was excellent as usual. Tom only had one evaluation left to go over, and he had been putting it off for last. He did not rejoice in the failure of others, and it was with heavy hearts that Tom ever let anyone go. Alas, Tom could procrastinate no more, so he pushed a button on his desk. "Ms. Wappler, could you bring in Jimmy the intern's evaluation, please?" His secretary entered a moment later, loudly chewing her gum. Muffy Sparkles Wappler was part Jersey girl, part android killing machine, and all insurance professional.
"I kind of been dreading this one, too, Mr. Stranger. I know you've taken Jimmy under your wing and all, but, well, here you go. See for yourself."
Tom looked over Jimmy's performance records. The results were not pretty. Like anal polyps level not pretty. Oh, this is possibly the most dismal score I have ever seen from anyone in the interdimensional insurance business. Muffy had blown a rather magnificent pink bubble while he'd been reading. She popped it and went back to chewing.
"Yeah, I thought so too, so I checked with the licensing board to see if scores that low were some sort of record, like an anti-achievement. I thought no way could Jimmy be the worst intern ever. Remember, there was that period back in the 90s where some other companies tried to save money by hiring sign language gorillas?"
"At least Jimmy is not in last place, then."
"Sorry, I didn't mean to imply Jimmy beat out the gorilla. That Amy could really hustle." "No, for the record, Jimmy isn't dead last. Just the lowest scoring carbon-based life form. 1 year Conundrum and Company hired a CNSA as a customer service rep. You know, the toy you pull the string and the little arrow spins and the cow goes moo? It was close, but Jimmy edged it out."
"That is something." Tom had been doing his best to help Jimmy discover his inner insurance agent, but they had faced some serious hurdles. "We must remember that Jimmy is from a very backwards earth. It's the one reality so statistically improbable that their Cubs actually won the World Series."
"Also, I think that's one of those weirdo oddball universes where Donald Trump got elected president, Mr. Stranger. Back on my planet, that guy owns a chain of all-you-can-eat buffets / strip clubs."
"Before my home planet was obliterated, our Donald Trump was a professional wrestling villain." "Jimmy's home reality is truly an oddity," Tom agreed. "By the way, who won the recent presidential election on your home world?"
"Oh, well, Adam Baldwin's two magnificent terms were up, but the Libertarian Space Cowboy Revolution Party won it again, and former Labor Secretary Mike Rowe is president now."
"Well, it's a dirty job, but someone has to do it." That was enough workplace-appropriate small talk. Now back to Jimmy's evaluation. Test scores are valuable, but real-world performance is where it counts. How has he been integrating with our corporate culture? Muffy shrugged.
Jimmy's the reason I had to send out that employee newsletter about why licking toads is a terrible idea. He routinely burns popcorn in the break room microwave, and that new sign on the copier saying that it is not okay to photocopy your own butt, Jimmy.
Well, surely there is some way to get him up to speed. Tom's body had been extensively enhanced and genetically modified, with every groundbreaking combat and customer service-related technology possible. Muffy's robot arm could bench press a truck. Perhaps we could have him cybernetically augmented.
We tried implanting an infolink chip directly into his brain so he could automatically access the universal data sphere. But then I had to disconnect it a few days later because Jimmy was downloading so much that he was eating up all the company's bandwidth.
Let me guess. Pornography?
Surprisingly, no. It was something called Ozzyman reviews.
I see. Though providing quality customer service to their existing clients was an interdimensional insurance agent's greatest calling, it was always important to find new clients. The thought of some poor potential customer out there somewhere in the multiverse insufficiently insured was a terrible one. How does Jimmy do at developing new business?
To put it bluntly?
Which went without saying because that was the only manner Muffy ever put anything.
Jimmy kind of sucks at selling policies, too.
That is most unfortunate, but let us remember that we all struggled with sales at first. Back when he'd been an intern at Mifune and Eastwood, Tom had once been submerged in acid by an enraged Burgundian hive queen for forgetting to give her free rate quote. It had been a teachable moment. Good times.
Seriously, just in case you think I'm exaggerating, Mr. Stranger, watch this.
She transmitted a file to Tom's desktop holoprojector. The image showed a very nervous Jimmy seated in their conference room, and resting on the table in front of him was what appeared to be an ordinary head of cabbage. Curious. Why is Jimmy speaking to a leafy vegetable, Ms. Wappler?
I didn't trust him not to scare off any real prospective paying customers, and I was cleaning out the break room fridge and found that. It had gone a little wilty. I didn't think whoever brought it in would miss it, so I told Jimmy that it came from a universe run by sentient vegetables.
And Jimmy believed this ludicrous ruse?
Sir, Jimmy still believes all the spam bots sending him friend requests on Facebook really are lonely, beautiful women. He answers every email from Nigerian princes trying to move money out of the country. Jimmy didn't even question it when I introduced him to Cabgar, Chief Ambassador of Cabbage Land.
Muffy hit play.
So, insurance, you know, well, Mr. Cabgar, round here that's like our dealio. It's where you pay money for stuff that hasn't happened yet, so when it happens, we fix it and you don't get screwed. Because there's, like, this thing where there's these different dimensions, but what's normal on one planet isn't normal on another planet, and sometimes they bump into each other and, like, stuff happens, and then more stuff. Cool, right? No way. Sometimes it's totally uncool. Anyways, that's what we're here for.
Tom winced. Well, at least he's enthusiastic.
Oh, don't worry. It gets worse.
Muffy fast-forwarded through Jimmy's rambling, incoherent sales pitch. Jimmy's tie was now undone, and he was looking rather flustered.
So, you're like the strong, silent type. Fine. Whatever, dude. If you don't want insurance, that's on you, man. Don't come crying to us when a portal opens and vegetarians attack and make your planet into a salad bar. And you're all like, ah, no, I'm getting chewed. Some dude's eating my face.
Not the most diplomatic approach, but young Jimmy does raise a valid concern. Militant space vegans really were a terrible menace. So gassy and self-righteous as they roam the galaxy in their eco-friendly battle cruisers.
There's more,
Muffy assured him. When the hologram returned to normal speed, giant sweat rings had appeared in the armpits of Jimmy's dress shirt. He had taken his necktie off and was wearing it as a bandana as he shouted at the hapless cabbage,
"You just keep staring at me! Why you gotta be so judgmental, man? You think because you're all full of vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and shit, you're better than me, huh? Well, you're not. You're not."
I think I see your point, Ms. Wappler.
Uh-huh.
Muffy just nodded as she skipped forward again. Now Jimmy was out of view of the camera, but it was obvious from the sound that he was beneath the table crying. It would appear that Ambassador Khabgar won that round.
That whole video was only 4.5 minutes long, Mr. Stranger. Look, I know you like the kid because he took a bullet for you, and I'm not saying that he's totally useless, just mostly useless.
What use would you suggest for him, then? Muffy was temporarily stumped, but like a true insurance professional, she always managed to find the bright side of every situation.
Some planets still use Soylent Green. Jimmy's mostly made out of valuable proteins and fats.
He had been hoping Jimmy had some prospects better than being rendered down into an edible paste. Thank you, Miss Wobbler. That will be all.
Sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings, Mr. Stranger.
Muffy got up to leave. Normally, anyone who was enough of a warrior and scholar to survive an interdimensional insurance internship would be offered a junior associate position upon graduation. And despite Tom's initial assessment that Jimmy would be a miserable failure, for heaven's sakes, he was getting a degree in gender studies, Tom still hoped the young man would make the cut. Miraculously, Jimmy had survived for a bit, but in doing so, he had brought dishonor upon the company. Unfortunately, in a business where the smallest error could lead to horrifying, painful death or, worse, dissatisfied customers, there was no room for a Jimmy. Would you please send Jimmy in to speak with me? I'm afraid I'm going to have to make some cuts.
Muffy clapped her hands gleefully. Yes, sir. Should I fetch a decapitating axe and a tarp?
What? Why?
To protect the new carpet, obviously.
Oh. That failure of clear office communication was upon Tom. Jimmy's use of slang had rubbed off on him, yet another example of reckless unprofessionalism. The intern was a force of chaos. Sorry, I meant I was going to terminate him. His employment, I mean, not his life. That would probably be wrong.
Well, shucks.
Muffy seemed a little dejected.
I'll go get Jimmy.
When Muffy told him that Mr. Stranger needed to speak with him in private, Jimmy was super pumped. He'd been totally rocking it as the new hotness at Stranger and Stranger. He was probably going to get an epic raise, probably a promotion, too, a big office with windows and his own giant fighting robot.
Sup, Mr. Stranger?
What is that thing on your head?
Oh, this?
Jimmy touched the awesome bundle of hair he'd tied up on top.
It's called a man bun. It's a hot new look on my planet. Pretty badass, huh?
Jimmy saw Mr. Stranger pause, scowling as he checked the internet thingy implanted in his brain. Apparently, the latest hipster fashion trends on your homeworld require looking like an effeminate lumberjack in a romper. What an odd dimension. Please, have a seat, Jimmy. He gestured at the chair in front of his desk. We need to talk about your future with the company.
Cool.
Jimmy sat down. As usual, Mr. Stranger's desk was super organized. There was a cup with pencils in it. They were all exactly the same length and uniformly sharp. Even the papers in his inbox were perfectly lined up.
When I get my own giant fighting robot, I want it to look like a Ninja Turtle, not Donatello, though. Who wants a freaking pole? But everybody always wanted to be Leonardo with the sword. I mean, that's cliche, so I'm thinking nunchucks.
I'm afraid discussing the relative merits of various turtle-based weapons is not why I have summoned you. Now, please, I am attempting to show an appropriate amount of sensitivity, because you once saved my life.
I sure did! That Jeff Conundrum guy is such a douche. He's like the worst insurance agent ever. Like, how way back he let your home planet get blown up. He's our competition, but his company's totally a ripoff. It was pretty awesome how you left him trapped in hell.
Indeed, that was rewarding. Now, please stop interrupting. Mr. Stranger cleared his throat and tried again. I had high hopes that you would develop the skills necessary to provide quality customer service. And with this internship completed, you will be graduating soon.
With a degree in gender studies, I'll be making the big bucks.
His boss sighed. Yes, gender studies.
I just gotta say, Mr. Stranger, these last few months have been the best time of my whole life. I've gotten to fly around outer space, blow up monsters with lasers and meet all sorts of hot alien chicks, and they're all like, whoa, you're with Tom Stranger? What? And I'm all like, yeah, baby, I'm his right-hand man, and they're all swooning and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
As usual, not really.
Before this internship, I didn't really know what to do with my life, man. You can only go to so many protests before you get tired of catching scabies. All the ladies are bossy with dreadlocks and smell funny and blocking freeway traffic with your body isn't nearly as fun as it sounds. Insurance is James Bond super cool. I love being an insurance agent. This job is like the best thing ever.
Tom Stranger took a deep breath. Then I'm afraid that I have some unfortunate news. It is with great sadness that I must inform you that you are being termed... Suddenly, a claim alarm sounded.
Auga!
Code red! Code red! All associates on deck! This is not a drill! The announcement was so loud that Jimmy fell backwards in his chair. With cat-like reflexes honed over months of hardcore insurancing, Jimmy rolled to the side and tried to take cover behind a potted plant.
What's going on, man?
He screamed, trying to be heard over the shrieking noise. Mr. Stranger had leapt to his feet. That alert only sounds when one of our premium comprehensive platinum policyholders files a level 10 claim.
That sounds bad. Is that bad?
Exceedingly. Mr. Stranger calmly walked to a big case mounted on the wall, which read, "In case of Armageddon, break glass," and shattered it with his fist. He reached inside and pulled out an unremarkable leather briefcase. I must get to the conference room. It was crazy out in the office. The lights were flashing red. Junior associates were ducking and covering beneath desks. Someone had taken a bunch of files, dumped them into a waste paper basket, and set it on fire. Jimmy had never seen his co-workers wig out like this before. Another intern ran by wearing nothing but football pads with spikes on.
I'm scared.
That's just the customary dress of Fred's people. I should have never allowed the implementation of Casual Friday. That decision also allowed such travesties as your man bun, Mr. Stranger explained as they hurried down the hallway.
Oh, wait. You are remarking upon the general atmosphere of pandemonium and terror. Well, that is to be expected with a level 10 claim.
The last time we had one of these, hundreds died. That totally sucked. But from what Jimmy knew about interdimensional insurance, that sort of thing happened all the time.
Compared to whole planets blowing up, hundreds doesn't seem too bad.
I meant hundreds in this office. The death toll across the multiverse was incalculable. Many brave junior associates gave their lives. It was a dark day for insurance. Our entire HR department was vaporized. We even had to replace the carpet.
Whoa! So what were you about to tell me when that siren went off, Mr. Stranger?
It will have to wait. If we do not all perish, we will speak again later.
Cool, cool.
Mr. Stranger was a busy dude. He'd get around to Jimmy's promotion later. They'd reached the conference room, and it was filled with nervous employees loading guns and checking spreadsheets. Jimmy would just have to wait until after this level 10 thingy was cleared up before he got his fat raise and some sweet nunchucks. Tom had dealt with several level 10 claims over his career, and he knew that they always required the utmost care. To qualify as a level 10, the potential damages had to be staggering, the likely outcomes catastrophic. Previous events of such magnitude had caused the fall of empires, the extinction of species, the destruction of worlds, and a great deal of customer dissatisfaction. Muffy had already prepared the conference room, put a pot of coffee on, and even had time to apply her war paint. She had gone with the festive blue Braveheart theme.
We're all ready, Mr. Stranger.
Excellent. Which platinum policy is it, Miss Wobbler?
The big one, she whispered.
Koreatech Prime?
The interdimensional Lord of Hate himself is on the line.
The room fell deadly silent. A few of the weaker-willed junior associates fainted. Not only was this their biggest account, but this particular claim was coming from the merciless CEO of the most powerful megacorporation in the multiverse, a man whose hobbies included collecting vintage antique atomic bombs, who subsisted on a diet of endangered unicorn steaks, who was so rich that when he shot trap and skeet, he used Fabergé eggs instead of clay pigeons. That guy.
Put him through, Ms. Wobbler. The ruggedly handsome, totally ripped CEO appeared on the screen smoking a cigar. Greetings, sir. How can we serve your insurance needs today? The interdimensional Lord of Hate ran one massive hand through his thick, luxurious, heavy metal quality hair in a very frustrated manner.
Damn it, Tom! Where's my manatee?
I do not understand.
Wendell volunteered to help you at that panel thing this morning. With you, your idiot sidekick.
Hey! Tom shushed Jimmy.
And that bald, fat clone version of me who writes fantasy books or some crap.
Technically, the author is not a clone, merely another version of you from an alternative reality who is, comparatively speaking, an utter failure.
Lame. Whatever. Anyways, my CFO went missing after your presser. I'd leave it up to my private army, but our scans show another dimension was involved, so his abduction should be covered.
There were gasps from the junior associates. Wendell the manatee had been kidnapped. This was terrible news. That is most unfortunate. I can assure you that Stranger and Stranger will not rest until we find him and your claim is settled.
That's what I'm paying you for, Tom. I don't know who took him, but you better shake the trees until something falls out, or there's going to be hell to pay.
Tom made a solemn vow. I will not rest until Wendell sleeps with the fishes. Only Jimmy was confused.
We're going to kill him in a mob hit?
What is wrong with you?
Muffy whispered. What? Now it was Tom's turn to be puzzled. No, Jimmy. He lives in the ocean. We're going to return him to his home.
Okay. But I still don't get what's so important about one manatee.
All of the other junior associates stared at Jimmy like he was insane. And then they quickly stepped away from him, clearing a circle like he was about to get struck by lightning. Which he probably was, since the interdimensional Lord of Hate had snarled and raised his mighty finger and thumb poised to snap. Please forgive him your hatiness. Jimmy is but a lowly intern, ignorant in the ways of the multiverse. I assume you are aiming a satellite death ray or some such device at him as we speak. I would politely ask you to refrain from disintegrating any of my staff.
Fine,
the interdimensional Lord of Hate lowered his fingers. But I'll elaborate for your village's idiot.
Wendell may be my accountant, and we've roped him into playing the cleric on our monthly company D&D night, but it isn't me you have to worry about when his people find out they're going to be torqued. They will call for a hooning.
Tom was proficient in 685 languages, so he explained it for his staff, who weren't as knowledgeable. The word is rather nuanced, but hoon is the battle cry of the manatee. They are slow to anger, but when it comes, it is terrible to behold.
Damn, Skippy, there isn't anything scarier than a herd of vigilante sea cows on a rampage. They tend to nuke first and ask questions later.
It was a race against time.
Understood, sir. Consider it done.
Good.
Contrary to what my critics might say, I don't like when whole planets get slaughtered. Losing that many customers sucks. Korea Tech Prime out!
The screen went dark.
Okay, am I the only one who's really super confused?
Jimmy asked.
The manatees on my Earth are pretty chill.
Yeah, that's what they want you to think, Muffy said. Does your home world have legends of the sunken continent of Atlantis?
Yeah, sure, I think so.
Who do you think sunk it?
Enough, Tom ordered. Muffy is correct. Manatees are known for two things, their fiscal responsibility and their unrelenting thirst for vengeance once provoked. Wendell is a hero to his herd. His kidnapping will surely rouse their fiery Florida man tempers. Their justice will be swift, unflinching, and indiscriminate. If we do not retrieve him quickly, the multiverse will face a murder of manatees.
Chapter 3. The Big 10 AM Shakedown, Miami, Florida, Earth, number 984-A-3256.
For claims like this, Tom knew it was best to start at the scene of the incident. He quickly assembled a crack team of forensic insurance investigators, and they traveled through the Thorn Gate back to the press conference center. The parking lot was quickly filled with Stranger and Stranger battle mechs and hover tanks from across the multiverse. After interviewing the witnesses and watching the security camera video, Tom had a good idea what had happened.
After concluding the panel, Wendell's handlers had wheeled his giant fish tank back to his signature monster truck. Of course, Wendell had been giving the VIP parking space. While loading, they had been set upon by invisible attackers. Good invisibility cloaks, too. Genuine Predator brand, not the chintzy knockoff invisibility cloaks you could pick up at Walmart on any half-decent world. The handlers had been stunned with phasers and had not seen a thing. Wendell was a fearsome warrior, usually armed with several advanced Korea Tech weapons, but, alas, had been distracted, looking at his phone, having a political debate on Twitter, where the popular manatee had more than 10 billion followers and had never seen them coming. His fish tank had been shot with a freeze ray, instantly solidifying the water and placing the noble sea cow into cryostasis. Then the whole thing had been rolled into a suspicious black van with out-of-universe plates, which had been waiting nearby. The kidnappers were gone in seconds. This was the work of professionals. The only DNA found at the scene was aquatic mammal. The kidnappers had left no tracks, and according to Miss Cleo, no psychic residue. They were well-trained, well-armed, and highly motivated. This was shaping up to be quite the challenge. All right, listen up, junior associates. Our manatee has been missing for 90 minutes. Average rocket boost-assisted hover speed is 400,000 miles per hour. That gives us a radius of 600,000 miles. What I want from each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, henhouse, outhouse, and doghouse in the area. Checkpoints go up at the edge of the solar system. Your manatee's name is Wendell. Go get him.
Whoa, I love that movie too, Mr. Stranger.
What movie? Tom was momentarily puzzled by why Jimmy, the former intern, was present at all, but then he remembered that in the heat of the moment he had neglected to finish firing him. Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I forgot to tell you that you're fired. It took Jimmy a moment to process that.
Huh?
Fired. Terminated. You are no longer employed by Stranger and Stranger. It was due to your terrible performance review. I should have told you back at the office and saved you the drive. I would be happy to discuss this with you later so that you may learn from your mistakes, but right now I must focus on staving off the sea cow apocalypse. Tom did not enjoy rudeness, but he had no choice but to leave Jimmy befuddled and stammering in the parking lot. He had much work to do. The rest of his team were running back to their vehicles. There was a series of sonic booms as mechs blasted off. He found that Muffy was busy consulting the galactic datasphere, searching for any individual or group which might hold a grudge against the manatee, either professional or personal. Professionally, the chief financial officer of an ultra-powerful, multiverse-spanning megacorporation tended to make enemies. Personalist was far longer, but mostly because Wendell tended to talk a lot of trash while playing Call of Duty online multiplayer. Ms. Wappler, this morning a reporter asked a pointed question about a hostile takeover. Do you have any further information concerning that?
I sure do. Korea Tech wants to merge a whole bunch of super evil companies together and really corner the market on evil products.
Sounds evil, yet efficient. Do you have a list?
A bunch of our clients are already there. Weyland-Yutani, Cyberdyne Systems, LexCorp, Umbrella, Kentucky Fried Velociraptor, and United Airlines.
Muffy sent the data directly to his infolink.
You got a hunch, Mr. Stranger?
A good agent must follow his instincts, Tom said as he picked up his doomsday briefcase and headed for his mech. As Tom strapped into the pilot's seat and prepared for takeoff, he noticed poor Jimmy still wandering the parking lot, lost and forlorn, dreams shattered, forever deprived of the opportunity to provide quality customer service. Perhaps Muffy had been right, and it would have been more merciful to put him out of his misery. Just not on the new carpet.
This sucks, Jimmy muttered as the last of the groovy space tanks and giant robots blasted off, leaving him all by himself. There was a conveniently located can for him to angrily kick down the road.
It wasn't fair. Jimmy had been awesome as an insurance intern. He'd made copies, fetched coffee, and only ate an appropriate amount of donuts when Muffy brought them in. Where did Mr. Stranger get off with his fancy evaluations? That cabbage dude had been stone cold. Nobody could have sold that heartless bastard insurance. He'd never really been good at much. Sure, he had a whole bunch of participation trophies, but now he was beginning to suspect that those weren't as meaningful as he'd always thought. But he'd worked super hard to get good at insurance, harder than he'd ever worked before. He'd even been pumping iron. Heck, he'd gone from a 0.07 on the grill survivability scale to a 0.09. A 1.0 was how much trauma it took to kill a single Bear Grylls, and Jimmy had a ways to go before that, but he'd started out equivalent to a standard Earth chicken, and now the GSS ranked him as survivable as a ficus plant.
Though Jimmy didn't know what a ficus plant was, he was certain it had to be pretty badass. He'd come too far to give up now. He was going to show Mr. Stranger that he had what it took to be an insurance agent. He knew he could do it if he believed in himself hard enough. Only, unlike college, Mr. Stranger had standards. Begging wouldn't work. Mr. Stranger only cared about customer service and results. That gave Jimmy an idea. Everybody else was out trying to find their missing client, but if Jimmy could find that manatee first, he'd be golden. He wouldn't just get his job back. He'd be employee of the month. All he had to do was figure out the crime of the century before all the trained, competent people did. Only he had something those guys didn't. Most junior associates came from super tough worlds where every day was a fight for survival, so they didn't watch a lot of TV, but Jimmy had mastered the art of binge streaming, and most of that had been cop shows. He'd had to keep his love of cop shows a dirty little secret from the other gender studies majors because they mostly watch girls on HBO, and if they found out, they would have yelled at him about cisnormative fascism or some other big words he didn't really understand. If all those cop shows had taught Jimmy anything, it was that it was always the rogue loose cannon detective who didn't give a damn about authority and rules who got the job done. That sounded like Jimmy to a T, because, let's face it, Jimmy knew he was pretty much a real-life cross between Luther and Raylan Givens. Sure, the average junior associate at Stranger and Stranger had been a Navy SEAL, astronaut, lawyer, or something before getting into insurance, but right now they'd be bogged down with logic and facts, while Jimmy was going to follow his gut. And on TV cop shows, whenever they didn't know what to do next, they would go roust some shady characters until somebody talked, and somebody always talked. This version of Florida was way more high-tech and swoopy than Jimmy's homeworld, but it also had a kind of cool cyberpunk Blade Runner vibe. That meant there was bound to be a seedy criminal underworld. Since he had tank-pooled over to the conference center and his Prius was back on home office world, Jimmy had to call for an Uber. He told the driver to take him to the sleaziest cesspool of shifty-lying dirtbags on the whole planet. But, sadly, by the time they got to London, it would be after work hours, so there wouldn't be anybody at the Guardian to shake down. It was those newspaper dorts' lucky day. So, they picked the next best sleazy local thing. The faceless Mook Bar and Grill was supposed to be a wretched hive of scum and villainy. Jimmy's driver said this was where all the bad dudes hung out. Not the top-tier really bad guys, but more like the low- and mid-level threatenable bad guys who would rat out their bosses. Man, Uber drivers were super helpful in this dimension. The bouncer at the door was a 500-pound cyborg gorilla.
"Greetings. Human females drink free on Fridays."
"Sweet. Maybe I'll meet some ladies."
The gorilla looked at Jimmy's ID.
"Oh, my bad. You are a human male."
"Whoa."
He'd heard about this all the time in gender studies, but had never had it happen to him personally before.
"Did you just assume my gender?"
"Yes. You are very puny with delicate bones."
The gorilla plucked a tick from his own pelt and ate it.
"Oh, I can't wait to post about this on Tumblr."
Misgendering was worth like 10,000 victim points.
"I must warn you, frail human. Inside this establishment, the sick and weak are usually killed and eaten. But you are over 21, so go on in."
The gorilla opened the door. On the other side was truly the scariest bar Jimmy had ever seen. It was all bikers, roughnecks, yakuza, killer robots, pirates, both space and the old-fashioned time-traveling kind, and assorted monstrous aliens from across the multiverse. He'd heard Wendell's home Earth was truly cosmopolitan, which was a word they'd used in college, though Jimmy wasn't sure what three-flavored ice cream had to do with anything. All he knew was this place was so nasty Patrick Swayze from Roadhouse would have walked in, took one look around, and said, "Nope, screw this, I'm out of here." Jimmy swallowed hard, called upon his inner insurance agent, and stepped inside. The music was so loud it punched him in the ear holes. It was a good thing they'd shut off that profanity filter, because otherwise the gangster rap soundtrack would be nothing but a string of beeps. Jimmy thought because he'd watched every episode of Burn Notice and Dexter, he'd be prepared for the Miami criminal underworld, but this was a bit overwhelming.
There were exotic dancers in cages suspended from the ceiling. Several burly men were engaged in a bloody knife fight, and John Taffer from Bar Rescue was loudly berating the owner about how the buffalo wings had not been cooked to a safe temperature in order to prevent salmonella. He went up to the bar. The bartender looked suspiciously like Danny Trejo. Jimmy ordered a mojito because that seemed a very Miami thing to do. This place wasn't messing around, and it came out in a super big gulp-sized cup, which Jimmy immediately chugged. Then he thought better of it and ordered 4 more because his courage could use a little boost.
You think you can handle all that, little man?
Jimmy snorted. He might not be as skilled as some of the other interns, but he'd gone to Chico State. Jimmy could function with a blood alcohol level of half.
Just keep 'em coming, Machete. Okay, but don't blame me for your poor life choices. What brings you here anyway?
Jimmy leaned over the bar and looked on the other side, just in case there was a manatee tied up behind it. Nope. That would have been super convenient.
I'm looking for information.
You a cop?
Do I look like a cop?
Not really. They've usually got some department-mandated physical fitness and grooming standards. What is going on with your hair?
It's my man bun.
So, you're like a special needs samurai or something?
Nope.
He pulled out a business card and slid it across the grimy bar.
Jimmy Duquesne, interdimensional insurance agent. Intern.
Former. Whatever. Maybe you've heard of me?
No way, homeboy.
The bartender stared at the card in shock.
Oh. You're the Jimmy the Intern.
Wait. Seriously? You have heard of me?
Sure. We all love that audiobook essay. Adam Baldwin is the bomb.
The bartender shouted so everyone could hear.
Guys, guys, it's Jimmy the Intern.
Suddenly, Jimmy was surrounded by a crowd of terrifying meatheads asking things like,
is Muffy super hot? Can I get your autograph? What's Tom Stranger really like?
Jimmy was starting to feel his 64-ounce mojito, so he answered truthfully.
Muffy looks like the movie version of Harley Quinn, only less slutty, more classy. Sure, I'll sign stuff. And Mr. Stranger is super badass at customer service, but he can be kind of insensitive. He fired me today.
There was a chorus of,
no way, man! Oh, that's bullshit! I know, right? Us interns have feelings, too.
The room of hoodlums seemed moved by his plight.
Yeah, nobody ever stops to think how us minor supporting villains feel. We're always getting beaten up and never get no credit. John Wick shot me 17 times.
One giant with a handlebar mustache sniffed.
My boss didn't even send me a get well card.
This was going way better than expected.
Groovy, huh? So, like, I'm here to kick some ass until somebody tells me who kidnapped Wendell so I can get my job back. So consider this a shakedown.
Yay!
Thugs loved a good shakedown. Jimmy downed his third mojito. It was getting a little blurry since he couldn't remember drinking the second one.
Oh, okay then.
He stood up on his stool.
I need information and I ain't leaving until somebody talks. So, how do we do this? Do I just, like, grab a pool cue and start whacking dudes over the head or what?
Immediately, several of the patrons shattered their beer bottles so they could stab Jimmy with the pointy ends.
Damn it, I have to clean this place,
the bartender shouted.
Sorry, reflex,
said an embarrassed thug.
Every night I've got to spend an hour sweeping up broken glass and eyeballs, and nobody ever says so much as a thank you. Now listen, Jimmy, you don't have to solve all your problems with violence. I suppose you could just ask nicely.
Huh. It turned out stereotypical criminal bar bartenders really were wise.
That works too, I guess. Okay, help me out, guys. What kind of sick bastard would steal a manatee?
The thugs pondered on it for a moment and then began shouting answers.
SeaWorld! Manatee collectors!
No, you can't just guess. Somebody has to know the right answer so I can get the bad guys and file a claim before Mr. Stranger does. Think!
Petco!
Not helping. Jimmy was getting frustrated and also a little dizzy, so he got down off the stool before he fell off.
Psst. The bartender leaned in conspiratorially. I think I know which pendejo stole your famous manatee. They're the baddest of the bad. They hang out at this rival bar down the waterfront. It's even meaner and tougher than this place.
Well, knowing that would have saved him a bunch of time.
Damn it, Uber!
Jimmy shook his fist at the ceiling. Sorry, everybody, but it looks like I gotta take my shakedown business elsewhere. The assorted scumbags were all like, oh, man, and oh, bummer, dude!
Hey, everybody, I know what to do, the bartender shouted. Let's go riot and burn things to help Jimmy the intern get his manatee back.
That was a great idea. The rest of them immediately began to cheer as they pulled out a wide assortment of guns and knives. Jimmy led his newly formed angry mob out into the street. This was going to be sweet, as Mr. Stranger would say. Things were going splendidly.
Chapter 4 Tom's 11 a.m. March for Science, Louisville, Kentucky, Earth, number 587-F-2288. Things were not going splendidly for Tom Stranger at all. It looked like he would have to work through his lunch hour again, and he was being pursued through the jungle by a pack of vicious, genetically modified plus-size velociraptors. A velociraptor leapt from the shadows. Tom slugged it in the teeth, sending the 8-foot-tall dinosaur flying back through the leaves.
Bad dinosaur, stay! Only like most husky velociraptors, it was exceedingly disobedient, so it hopped back up and tried to disembowel him with its deadly hook toe. Dodging aside in a blur, Tom let the super-efficient predator pass by and then grabbed it in a chokehold. It began rolling and crashing through the underbrush, trying to dislodge him. This was not the first time he'd had to choke out a dinosaur this week, but their colorful feathers got all over his suit, which was a very unprofessional look, and he'd left his lint brush back in the office. Tree trunks shattered into splinters as his body was driven into them, but Tom held on as its struggles gradually became weaker. Once he had rendered the dinosaur unconscious, Tom got up and tried to dust off his charcoal 3-button men's warehouse suit, only to discover there were feathers stuck to him everywhere. Disk, disk. Then he realized that he had been surrounded by the rest of the pack, and they were creeping slowly forward in order to rip him to pieces. Tom was opposed to being devoured by hungry dinosaurs on general principle, but getting killed while he was trying to take care of an important claim was especially vexing. I really do not have time for this nonsense. Tom drew the ultra-lethal Koreatech Combat Wombat from his holster on his belt and declared, unless you wish me to obliterate your entire flock, show yourself, Colonel! Someone blew a whistle. Immediately, all the velociraptors fled in terror. A moment later, Tom heard the high-pitched whine of a jetpack as a portly, white-haired gentleman in a white suit descended through the treetop canopy. The colonel stopped and hovered above the clearing.
Surprise! So, what did you think of our exciting new dining experience?
I'm not sure I see the appeal, sir, Tom said as he holstered his combat wombat.
Great googly-moogly, Tom. The adrenaline rush makes the meat taste better.
The customer's meat or the dinosaur's?
Both! Don't you get it? It's man versus his dinner. Only the strong will survive. It's primal supper.
I believe I will stick with original recipe.
That's because you're a traditional sort. Popeyes came along and then everybody wanted spicy. Well, I'll show them spicy. There's nothing spicier than fighting your food to the death. Will the tables turn? Will the hunter become the hunted? I call it the most dangerous meal deal. We drop you off in the jungle with nothing but sharpened spork and a bucket of mashed potatoes, biscuits, and a medium soda for $7.99. It's all you can eat, if you're man enough.
That does sound like an excellent value.
And the best part? So many customers will get eaten. I'll save a bundle on velociraptor feed. I'll still come out ahead.
It was unfortunate when his clients descended into murderous insanity, but Tom did not discriminate. As long as the colonel's premiums were paid on time, Tom would continue to render the finest customer service possible.
If I may be so bold as to offer a suggestion, Colonel, if you will be advertising this meal deal across dimensions, have them sign a waiver first. It will prevent many claims. In most realities, dinosaurs went extinct.
Ah, but they're so finger-looking good, those poor saps don't even know what they're missing. I do declare I was surprised to see you show up here, Tom. I saw the news. I figured you'd be keeping your head down because of all those angry dolphin protesters.
That was all a misunderstanding, Colonel.